you are thankful for. And I don't know how to communicate now because I can't see you per se, but have you thought of all the things you're thankful for? Too often I think we go to the things we see. I'm thankful that I had breakfast this morning. I'm thankful that I have access to a shower, and I think you should be thankful too if you're standing close to me. There are so many things to be thankful for, but have you thought of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ? Do we remember to praise Him for His thankfulness? Let's pray. Father, I need you to go before me now because I am a small man who's fallible, and I confess I need your help. Father, I pray that I would be hyper-focused on you this morning, that you would use me to proclaim this message that needs to be heard by the world around us. I thank you for every opportunity that you have placed before us to be a light in this dark world. And I thank you and praise you for the challenging times that sometimes overwhelm us. When we're dealing with the loss of a loved one, when we're dealing with a loss of good health, when we're dealing with the loss of physical ability, you continue to be right by our side. And for that, Lord, I am eternally grateful. Go before us now as we enter into this message. I pray that your word would speak to our hearts and our minds, that we would pick this up and put it into practice. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have to answer my own question. I am so thankful for God's word. It's the secret to a life worth living. This morning's sermon is directly from God's word. Let me begin with Psalm 121. If in your car you have a pencil, or if you're in fellowship hall, you find a piece of paper and a pencil to write these references down. Again, I'm sharing God's word to you. I'm going to begin with Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Is God your refuge, your fortress? Is he the one you are trusting when things get tough? Amen. Are you aware that he's all around us, lifting us up in times of trouble? Listen to Psalm 3, 1 through 3. Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Life can be difficult. And when it is, do you hang on every word of the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. That is a declaration of confident hope. Can you agree with the words of Psalm 27? Have you read it? Because like we do with Psalm 23, you place because the Lord is my shepherd in front of that psalm, and you get all those blessings. What happens when you do the same with Psalm 27? The Lord is my light and salvation. Because the Lord is my light and salvation. Listen. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Is this your plea? The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of the reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for their for they accuse me of things I never have done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident. I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Wait patiently for the Lord. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he reached down to me and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud. And he set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my heart, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the ground, to the proud, nor to those who become involved in falsehood. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There's no one to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Are you aware of the blessings God has poured out on our lives? Have you thanked Him for those blessings? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul. Do not forget any of His benefits, who pardons all our guilt, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with favor and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always contend with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our guilty deeds. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our wrongdoings from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our form. He's mindful that we're nothing but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, like a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place no longer knows about it. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for those who fear Him, and His justice to the children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts, so as to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His angels, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you workers of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, my soul. Because of His blessing on our lives, we are to bless Him in all that we do. This will not be an easy task. 2 Corinthians 4:13 through 18 reminds us, when we live in a manner worthy of the Lord, this is what it says. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has a result in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believe in God, and so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present trouble are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Romans 8:15 through 39 tells us how we are to act in this world and of the benefit that is ours when we do. We should not be like cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling to him, "Father, Father." For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are really God's children. And since we are his children, we will share in his treasures. For all God gives to his Son, Jesus, is now ours too. But if we're to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death, and decay, the things that overcome the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear. And the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children enjoy. For we know that even the things in nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event. And even when Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering, we too wait anxiously for the day when God will give us our full rights as children, including the new bodies he has promised us, bodies that will never be sick again or will never die. We are saved by trusting. And trusting means looking forward to getting something we don't yet have. For a man who already has something doesn't need to hope and trust that he'll get it. But if we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't happened yet, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently. And in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems. And in our praying, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son, so that his son would be the first with many brothers. And having chosen us, he called us to come to him. And when we came, he declared us not guilty, filled us with Christ's goodness, gave us right standing with himself, and promised us his glory. What can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? If God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, won't he also surely give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He's the one who has forgiven us and given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he's the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. Then who can ever keep Christ's love from us? When we have trouble or calamity, when we're hunted down or destroyed, is it because he doesn't love us anymore? And if we're hungry and penniless or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? No. For the scriptures tell us that for his sake we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day. We're like sheep awaiting slaughter. But despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, the angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky, or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. My friends, this is God's word that we have access to every day. We can pick it up and be uplifted and encouraged. And I hope that you were able to hear God speak to you of all the things he has done for us and will continue to do for us when we seek him, when we love him with all our heart, when we allow him to pursue us. We will find him. When we pick up what God's word says to do and put it into practice, we will make it through this journey we call life. I am so thankful for God's word. It is the secret to a life worth living. Think of the things that you are thankful for. And don't forget to thank Jesus for the life that he gives you. And bless him with the life he has given you. Father, I thank you for word, that it is all powerful, that in it we can find wisdom and knowledge to get through the greatest obstacle in life. Thank you for promising to go before us and never leaving us. Father, I pray that you would continue to be our strength to get us through each day. I ask this in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen. And for those that don't understand the horn blowing, that is definitely an amen. So thank you for being there. I also want to close with this benediction. After this benediction, we will cue music that is applicable to the message. Lord Jesus and God Father, who has loved us and given Let me try again. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and hope that we don't deserve, comfort your hearts with all comfort and help in every good thing you say and do. Be blessed as you continue to serve the Lord this week. Don't forget to be thankful on Wednesday at 7 at St. Thomas Church there in Burnville. And also enjoy your family and share what you're thankful for on Thanksgiving Day.